For KBIA News, I'm George Varney. Missouri's veto session is officially over. Republicans succeeded in overriding vetoes on 10 bills, as well as reversing 47 line item vetoes within the state budget. And Republicans in the Senate succeeded in passing perhaps the veto session's most controversial bill, which extends the waiting period for abortions to 72 hours from 24. But as Marshall Griffin tells us, that particular victory came at a cost.
After the 72-hour waiting bill was revived in the House, it moved over to the Senate, where Democrats immediately launched a filibuster to kill it. But Republicans employed a rarely used procedure called a PQ to cut off debate and force a vote. After the vote, Democrats retaliated by launching another filibuster when the next override motion came up, indicating that they would not allow any more override attempts in the Senate. GOP leaders, including Senate President Pro Tem Tom Dempsey, got the message and adjourned shortly after midnight.
I was in the House when the PQs happened in, 2007? And I was aware that it pretty much after they PQ'd the bills during regular session that nothing happened after that.
Meanwhile, the Missouri House carried on until 3 a.m., overriding some vetoes easily while falling short on others. The lower chamber passed another controversial bill preventing local governments from barring the open carry of firearms by people who possess concealed carry permits. Democrat Stacey Newman of St. Louis County blasted the bill on the House floor.
Now you tell us over and over again, you don't like big government. And your answer with this bill, your answer is to overrule citizens and elected officials. Today you're telling them that you are big government, that you know better than what is right for them in their own towns.
Several bills did not make it out of veto session. Some override votes fell short in the House. Those included bills that would have reclassified deer as livestock and that would have added graphing calculators to the list of items eligible for the state's back-to-school sales tax holiday. Other vetoes were overturned in only one chamber, not both. Those included the Senate school transfer bill and a House bill that would have allowed alcoholic beverages to be sold at the state capitol and the old Missouri State Prison at some upcoming anniversary events. And some vetoed bills were not brought up at all because there weren't enough votes for the required two-thirds majority. Then there were the 47 line-item vetoes in the state budget that were overridden. Some lawmakers, including House Democrat Jeff Rorta of Jefferson County, argued that the Constitution does not allow for overrides of line-item vetoes.
Those bills, because they were line-item vetoed out of session, were to be returned to the Secretary of State, not the Chamber of Origin, not this House. And we are exceeding our authority here. We are trampling on the Constitution.
Rorta's objection went nowhere, though, and the line-item overrides went forward. Whether those vetoes remain in place or not, some lawmakers have speculated that Governor Jay Nixon will just withhold the money lawmakers have voted to restore to the state budget. Other vetoed bills that were overridden include one that would bar the sale of nicotine vapor products, or e-cigarettes, to those under 18, and another that would forbid school districts from forcing students to wear electronic devices that could be used to track their whereabouts. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin.
MoDOT will spend $18 million to replace three prominent bridges along Interstate 70. Travis Kessner, assistant district engineer for the Central District, said the money is coming from traditional MoDOT funding sources.
It's regular money that comes from fuel tax, so it's road and bridge money from the fuel tax that Missourians pay anytime they fill up at the pump.
Kessner said the project is in its preliminary steps of collecting data, so aerial mapping will begin today if weather conditions are safe. Kessner said since the bridges on Business Loop 70, Garth Avenue, and Route 763 were built in the late 50s and early 60s, they will have to be demolished and rebuilt. The earliest time people will see construction is late 2015. Despite the misting rain, some dedicated Tigers stood clad in green on Lowry Mall yesterday to raise awareness for their cause. The Relationship and Sexual Violence Prevention Center hosted the Green Dot Mizzou Day, a day constituted to the education and prevention of violence in our communities. Graduate assistant at RSVP, Tim Manis, says that raising awareness is a team effort.
One of the ways that we can raise awareness towards violence prevention is by doing little things. One of our philosophies is no one has to do everything, but everyone has to do something. If everyone were to just do these little actions, these little behaviors, then, you know, our community at large would be more educated and would be more prone to be intolerant to violence.
For more information about the prevention of violence, visit rsvp.missouri.edu. cleanup neared an end in Kirksville yesterday. The major storm that swept through Kirksville at 3 a.m. Wednesday morning left a wake of destruction behind it. Ray Sandstorm is the public works supervisor of street maintenance in Kirksville. Sandstorm says the city is nearly done repairing the damage from the storm.
We've been through the entire town, and the streets are all open. Now we're kind of working in on city property, our parks and stuff, trying to get them cleaned up.
Sandstorm says there was little damage to buildings or houses. He says the most significant damage was to trees and branches. Crews worked until 7 p.m. Wednesday night to return power to the people who lost power during the storms. The street and maintenance department have moved their fall brush and debris pickup to September 22nd to help finish the cleanup. President and CEO of the Jefferson City Chamber of Commerce, Randy Allen, says he has seen positive signs of economic progress in the area. The chamber made a change in its structure in September 2013 by creating four areas of focus: talent, growth, place, and membership. Allen says the chamber has focused on developing the workforce.
We've been working pretty hard on a couple of particular areas, and that is trying to retain some young people, and then getting the people that are connected in companies, new people to the companies, connected to the community.
Allen is satisfied with the chamber's summer internship program and how it produced new leadership potential. He says the chamber has to work on figuring out how the economy's changing and how to adapt to it. For KBIA News, I'm George Varney.